Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Thursday, November 19th, 2020.
Bitcoin has stably stayed above 18,000 today, right now at 18,130, up 1.3%. Ethereum is up 1.6% to 485. And on some related news for some coins that we've been covering lately, Bitcoin Cash, which just went through their fork, is at 255, which is just about stable over the last, you know, two, three weeks. And Bitcoin ABC, Bitcoin Cash ABC, which is the fourth that branched off, is up to $21 from about where it started at $15. So both of those chains are moving up, which is super interesting. I was expecting that to be a pretty zero-sum game. One or the other was going to go up and the other one would go down. So interesting stuff all around in the markets today.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, the SEC has expanded its accredited investor definition.
Yeah, so this is super interesting. The way that the SEC has worked for non-traditional investments to essentially determine if you can make an investment into a startup or a ICO or a DeFi token, that's why this is sort of relevant to us, has been this process the SEC calls self-accreditation. There's a worksheet that you run through as an investor, and it asks you, there's sort of like five categories you fall into, but really it is one of two things. You either have over $1 million in assets, you make over $250,000 a year for the past 2 or 3 years, or you run a trust that has over $5 million in assets. Obviously, this is kind of BS for a lot of people out there. Like, not everyone has a lot of money, but many people are in fact qualified to make investments in more speculative assets. So all this was to say, like, if you invest in a public company, you don't have to have any accreditation at all. The idea is that because they report their earnings and all this stuff, there's a lot more trust there. It's really only for these, you know, for other instruments that might not be traditional, like ICOs and potentially even all these DeFi coins. I mean, there's a very strong argument to be made that DeFi, anyone putting money into a DeFi coin should be an accredited investor. So the SEC came out and said that, and I don't really know where all this came from. It's really interesting. Like, I don't know who was pushing for what side of this, but it is really cool. The SEC came out and said that they are actually going to reevaluate the definitions for accredited investors, and it will no longer be purely based on money. And that's a good thing. I mean, look, this is, you know, America is a meritocracy. It is not a oligarchy. It's certainly, or, you know, theoretically, but it's certainly not a kleptocracy where the people with the most amount of money kind of win. That's not exactly the right definition, but I'll stick with it anyways. So, you know, that you don't want only rich people to be able to invest in potentially very high yielding returns. I mean, that's the thing about startups, is that startups are some of the best returns, especially for ones that actually hit, of any financial instrument out there. And limiting that to only rich people investing in that is a huge issue. So now a component of the accreditation process will be how much knowledge you have of the underlying assets. So if you work at a startup, theoretically, and this, none of this has officially been totally announced yet, but this is what people are speculating. If you work at a startup or if you have startup experience, then you could theoretically be able to invest in startups as part of the accreditation process because you have more knowledge. I think most of the people in the startup and crypto space are excited about these rule changes. It's a long time coming. Democratizing access to non-traditional financial instruments is obviously what pretty much everyone in the DeFi space believes in. And seeing the SEC respond to that is actually a really cool move in the right direction, which I don't often say about the U.S. government.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. So next, crypto exchange Hobie is reportedly wants to buy Bitthumb.
Yeah, my favorite part of this story is that I don't know how to pronounce either of these. So it's Hubie and Bitthumb. And it's the funny part about, like, the internet age is, like, you just never hear anyone say half the words that you see on the screen. So, but yeah, so Bitthumb is a South Korean exchange that has had a lot of issues lately. We have chronicled some of their problems. They had two different warrant searches of their premises, of their corporate headquarters. There was some arrests in the executive level. Certainly warrants have been put out. Hubie itself has had a lot of issues. There's rumors in the press that the CEO of Hubie is not allowed to leave China. I think there's other rumors he hasn't even been seen since 2017. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff here, but essentially, Hubie right now actually has a very significant presence in Korea. That's kind of where this is coming from. So Hubie right now has a very, very significant illegal presence in Korea, in South Korea, based off of, you know, South Koreans just using their exchange, not dissimilar to, you know, Binance in the U.S. You know, these have U.S. Retail users using Binance, even though it's super against the rules. Same thing in South Korea. I mean, pretty much everyone in the world, like, all this stuff is democratizing. You know, you can, the governments can kind of pretend as much as they want, and but that just pushes everyone to DeFi instruments. Anyways, neither here nor there. You know, Hubie wants to buy this in order to legitimize their current South Korean customers. I doubt this is, I think that this is more speculative than anything. I don't think this will really go through. South Korea has very tight regulations. I mean, South Korea has done a great job embracing cryptocurrency and making it possible for exchanges to exist in the country. But part of that is they have very tight regulations on ownership rules for their exchanges. So right now, you actually have to be South Korean and a local native to own or operate an exchange in South Korea. So I don't think that this will get past regulators, but it is sort of very interesting to see the machinations of the various exchanges in Asia right now, because there's obviously a lot of money to be made here, and everyone is, you know, when with everything up in the air with all these arrests and everything, you know that there's kind of a fire sale going on. So if people can take advantage of it, they definitely will.
Interesting. All right. So up next, Bitcoin has one of its wealthiest backers yet. Mexico's third richest person has 10% of their liquid assets in Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is Ricardo Salinas Pliego is the third richest person in Mexico, 160 on the top richest people in the world list. And he is saying that he's keeping 10% of his liquid assets in cryptocurrencies and digital assets. Now, I think that that's already kind of a very squishy thing to poke at. He said, he was very clear. He said 10% of his liquid assets. Most people don't keep a lot of liquid assets. You know, when you're that rich, you tend to have non-liquid assets, I guess is a good way to say it. Like, you'll have some stocks, you'll have stocks and things like that, but you also have a lot of real estate and private jets and other things that are assets. So this is already kind of cutting down from his overall. He's not saying that he has a 10% of his assets period in crypto, but 10% of his liquid assets. But I mean, look at this is an enormously good sign. You know, every week we report on more and more people that are basically trusting in cryptocurrency and putting their money in it. And we see that from the stock price. Like, you can look at, I said this yesterday and I'll say it again, probably every day for the next, I don't know, hopefully 6 months. But, you know, the bull run that is happening right now is a institutional and large cap investor driven bull run. This is not a retail investor bull run. It is people like Ricardo Salinas Pliego, and it is companies like MicroStrategy that are putting money into it. So I'm excited to read more and more of these over the next few weeks and months.
All right, DeFi tokens make triple digit gains.
Markets are all up. I mean, this is sort of inevitable. It's funny. I've been watching this. I like to watch correlations within the cryptocurrency world. I like to see how ETH and Bitcoin are moving together. I like to see how Bitcoin is moving against gold and the US dollar and the Dow Jones. And I like to watch how DeFi is moving against other digital assets. So I've actually, because of all of the hacks that have been happening recently, I actually have been expecting that we were going to be entering another little down market. For a little mini bear market for DeFi assets. And that hasn't really happened. The DeFis have just stayed relatively correlated with the rest of the digital currency market. You see some ups and downs here and there, but for the most part, there's been pretty tight correlation. You know, digital assets are moving as a block right now. They're not really moving individually, which is interesting to me. I think the best way I would interpret that is that still shows an enormous amount of non-sophistication in the markets. You know, if you expect, you know, when you look at these stock markets, even on good days, you have the losers on those days. And there'll be, you know, it's 10%, 20% of the market will be losers on big days in the Dow. for the Dow, you don't really see that in DeFi. Like, you see the whole market going up or the whole market going down. Every now and again, you see Bitcoin going up and everyone else going down, and like some things here and there. But I think that for most investors, they're relatively unsophisticated. The, you know, most digital assets are essentially fungible, with kind of like Bitcoin maybe being the carve out. So like Bitcoin is kind of like the gold standard, and every other digital asset sort of fungible. So you just tend to see these markets all move, and people, you know, as silly as it is, people like lower price assets, and they like being able to kind of invest in them. So that's how I kind of read all this, is that people are just sort of making very naive investments in the crypto market, and they just sort of put it into any digital asset they want to, and pretty interchangeably. So that's my take.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. And remember to follow us on Twitter @TheDeFiDaily to see links to all the articles we reference.
Have a good one.